You're listening to the Wally Show podcast. You can hear the live version every weekday morning through the WayFM app or following along with us at wayfm.com/Wally.
The Wally Show podcast is brought to you by Colorado Christian University Online, where Wally teaches and where you can earn a degree online just like Betty Rock. You can learn more at ccu.edu/Wally. This podcast is also brought to you by United Faith Mortgage. Let their direct lender advantage save you time and money.
Uplifting WayFM.
If you're not careful, you might just learn something today.
Hi there. Is there a project you're working on?
I know more than you.
All right.
It's the Wally Show.
There's a lot of tough news that's going to be talked about today in Texas, and we're not tone deaf to that, and we are going to address some of this and ways that you can talk to your kids about the tragedy that unfolded there, but we're not going to camp out on it all day because I do want this to be a place where you can't escape from that a little bit because it is going to be everywhere. So that's why we're still going to do the regular like news-ish and stuff that's not that heavy, but I just wanted you to know that it's not like, oh, you're just oblivious to what's going on.
Right. Well, when you're invited to get together with friends, do you show up early, on time, or a little late?
I'm always early.
Oh, you're that person.
I'm that person that's like, hey, what time's the party? Because you said 4 o'clock, it's quarter till, we should be going.
Well, I'm always the one that likes to show up just a little bit late.
No,
yes.
No.
It's always a tough decision, though, on when to leave, because you don't want to be too late, but you also don't want to be rude either, so you don't know when to leave your house. But thankfully, a political reporter named Sam Brody, he came up with the 38-minute rule. He claims that typically showing up 38 minutes late to an event is the sweet spot.
What?
So it usually means you won't be the first one there because you don't want to do that. You don't want to be the first one there because it's awkward. Maybe they're not ready yet. You have to keep up a conversation.
You don't miss any of the fun. You're there for every second of the fun and you'd be the last one to leave.
Oh, gosh. But showing up 38 minutes late will also mean it won't be too awkward because things haven't really gotten rolling yet.
Yeah.
And so, like, if it's a dinner party, you want to grab that good seat. 38 minutes typically is people just, you know.
The first, I get like the first 20 minutes is kind of like getting things rolling. I do understand that for a party situation.
Yeah.
But like, it's almost 40 minutes. That's almost an hour into like what could only be like a 2-hour event or something. And so that seems super late to me.
To me, it sounds
rude.
Pretty good.
Yeah. I showed up one time 24 hours early to a dinner with our friends.
On purpose?
No, I had the wrong date. And so I pull into their driveway, and he's out doing lawn work. And I'm like, I know I'm early, but like, I mean, you should be kind of ready for me. And he's like, what are you doing here? I'm like, well, we're having dinner. And he's like, that's tomorrow. Oh!
Oops. Oh,
well, what do you got in the fridge? Let's do this now. I'm here. Let's make the best of it. WayFM, this is The Wally Show, and you probably have heard by now some of the horrific, cowardly, and senseless news about the shooting at Robb Elementary in Texas. And I realize as you listen to the radio today, you have kids with you, and there are age-appropriate conversations you need to have with them. And so I'm not going to be super detailed about things, but the conversation is important to have. And that's actually what experts are saying and offering up as advice for you as your kids are kind of processing this themselves, because it's scary for them, you know? And so they're like, okay, what should you do? And one of the first things is initiate the conversation about this. Don't avoid it, because it's easy as parents sometimes to out of sight, out of mind, or if it doesn't seem to be a problem, let's not deal with it. You know, they're fine. Mm-hmm. But sometimes there are things going on beneath the surface that kids have gotten misinformation, they interpret something wrong, and you need to bring that out of them by having a conversation.
And who knows, too, what they'll hear through their friends at school. You know, maybe those friends had conversations with their parents or they heard something on the news.
And it's a mistake to think that they're not going to be aware of it, you know. And so that's why we're trying to be proactive with you here and give you a couple thoughts on this. They say how to respond to your child if they say they don't feel safe going back to school. I totally get that. And their big advice is validate that. Say, I understand that. But then ask questions. Okay, why? Mm-hmm. Why don't you feel safe? And then you can give specific examples, you know, like, okay, you have Mr. Jones, who is your safety officer, and he's there for you. Like, mm-hmm. So then you can find out where they're at mentally on it, and you can be, you know, again, proactive in helping alleviate some of the fears. Because, I mean, the truth is you can't alleviate all the fears that A, they're going to feel, or the reality of life, mm-hmm. but you got to address it with them. And so check back in. This was an important one too. Like, if you have one round of conversations, don't just assume everything's good, because sometimes the weight of this stuff hits kids at different times, or something triggers them and it's 3 days later and all of a sudden they're a little mess. Mm-hmm. You know, so stay on top of it and keep checking in with them and having these conversations. And here's one that the experts didn't offer, but I think it's probably the most proactive and most beneficial. Pray with your kids for these families, you know, and pull them aside. Say, hey, how would you pray for these families? Make them an active participant in this prayer. Walk through it with them, because in doing so, you're probably going to find out where their head is at, mm-hmm. as they're having to formulate what they would say to Jesus in this, you know, and then take that time and pray with them. And two things happen. One, it teaches them to lift up other people, but it also teaches them to go to God in prayer in the midst of tragedy. And that's a life lesson and something that you instill in them young, and that can carry them through the rest of their lives, if you know, effectively. So there you go. Just some thoughts in this as you process this and work through this today. Not camping out on it all day, but we're going to touch on it here and there to hopefully help you and your family out.
I'm in love, and I don't care who knows it.
Uplifting Way FM. This is The Wally Show. 30 years in the making was this revolutionary approach to marriage, and it hit me. Hit me just the other day. My wife tends to be particular and decisive and does things very differently than I do. Okay. Mm-hmm. It's the beauty of marriage. Very different. And so, for example, we were running some errands before she was going out of town, and she wanted to run all the errands first, and they were all within a 5-mile radius. Wanted to run all the errands first and then get gas last because she was leaving the next day. Although the gas station was really the best first place to go. Mm-hmm. And then run your 4 miles, which takes less than a third of a gallon of gas. Okay. And so, but she was very insistent on, no, we have to do it this way. We've got to run the errands first. Then that way it's completely full when we go there. But I said, but what about the time it takes to drive from the gas station to the car? Do you want me to get a secondary gas can and fill it up when we get back to the house? You know? And so, like, there are things in your marriage that can be a little comically frustrating sometimes. And so I came up with this. She looked at me and she's like, are you mad? I said, no. I said, you know what? I just realized this is part of the privilege of loving you. I get the
privilege.
Exactly. It was genius. It was like a light bulb moment.
Did it make her happy?
Yes. And it was funny. And so she was like, oh, okay. Because I wasn't being negative. I wasn't being angry. I said, you know, I just chalked it up to. And there's so many things that she does. She can't decide on a place to eat. Or she eats there like for 5 years and then decides one day she's not going to eat there anymore because it doesn't taste good or something.
Okay, you sound like you're getting amped up. But you just remember.
Back to the privilege.
This is the privilege of loving her.
Part of the privilege of loving my wife is always having new restaurants to go to because the old ones suddenly aren't good anymore. You know? So that is how I'm approaching it. And maybe this is just clicking for you right now, okay? So 855-33-WAY-FM. That's 855-33-WAY-FM. Have you ever been in that position where you realized, all right, my spouse does this and I'm coming to terms with this. It's just part of the privilege of loving them, okay? I'd love to hear your story with this. And you can take that and use it in your marriage now because I really think it does work. It worked for us. 855-33-WAY-FM. I'm curious if your spouse is wonderful as mine. So, Albert, what is that thing that is just part of the privilege of loving your wife?
Okay, I got you beat on this one. My wife's pregnant, third child. She decides she wants to go to a Cuban-American restaurant. I'm Cuban-American. She gets there and she says, oh, I thought they have enchiladas, which is Mexican. So She then proceeds to blame me for picking the restaurant, okay? And I did not pick this restaurant. And then she asked me, what should I order from a Cuban restaurant? So I said, okay, she likes very healthy things, so I told her what to get from a Cuban restaurant that would be healthy. On the way home, the entire time, she complained. But I love her. I really, really do. Obviously, we have another child. And she complained the entire time. For the whole week, she blamed me for her getting sick because I chose a Cuban restaurant and I didn't choose it. She did.
You know what? It's just part of the privilege of loving her, right, Albert? If you have that mentality, you'll get through this.
Dude, 100% I texted her. I was like, it's part of the privilege of marrying you. I did, right as soon as you said that. That's why I called. I'm like, he nailed it.
All right, you've heard Albert, so what is yours? 855-33-WAY-FM. What is that thing that's just part of the privilege of loving your spouse?
We had this conversation on our Facebook page. If you go to facebook.com/Wally Show, you can see some of the comments. Like Emily, she said, God has definitely used my ADHD procrastinating husband to teach me patience. We've lived in our unfinished house for 13 years. He's adding on to our unfinished house now. Concrete is poured for the add-on, but the original part is still unfinished.
Just part of the privilege of loving you, baby, because you're like, you know, a work in progress, just like this house. See how this works?
Nice. Sherry said, when my husband chews like an industrial robot bent on destroying his food, just the privilege of loving him.
Yeah, I have been told by some people in my life that I might suffer from that same affliction.
You suffer from a snacking problem.
Is it really?
Problem.
I've never noticed it.
Well, it's a definite problem.
Okay.
And I guess I could say it's the privilege of working with you?
Yeah, or loving me, either one.
No, let's not go there. Coffee shops, poolside, back porch, picnic table at the park, at your kid's soccer practice. Just about anywhere can be your classroom when you decide to go back to school online at Colorado Christian University.
I know I got my degree online, and I actually did a homework at a campsite. I was sitting around a campfire writing a paper. That is where I did some of my work that weekend. So life doesn't have to stop just because you go back to school to better yourself. You can work towards this future and this goal that you want to accomplish, and it doesn't have to totally consume you or derail your normal life with friends, your family, or what have you.
And you can earn accredited degrees from Colorado Christian without ever setting foot on campus.
So there really shouldn't be an excuse to not going back to school. If it's something you really want to do, you can do it. And all you have to do is go to ccu.edu/Wally to learn more. And the other really important thing is that Colorado Christian is committed to cultivating the mind without compromising the heart. So check it out, ccu.edu/Wally.
Using faith and facts to combat fear. Here's today's big story on The Wally Show.
It's going to be a tough news day today because of the horrific and cowardly, senseless shooting at Robb Elementary in Texas. And this just 10 days on the heels of Buffalo. And I hate that this stuff keeps repeating itself. And I realize that you have kids with you and there are age-appropriate conversations you're going to need to have with them moving forward. So I'm not going into like crazy detail on this. You can get that from the regular news. But in the aftermath, you know, we always seem to be looking for motive so that we can somehow prevent this in the future, and the gun laws immediately get brought into the conversation, and all of this is happening while families are still mourning because the unthinkable just happened to them. And President Biden addressed the nation last night after he got home, I believe he was in Asia, and addressed the nation about the shooting.
To lose a child is like having a piece of your soul ripped away. There's a hollowness in your chest. You feel like you're being sucked into it. It's never quite the same.
And that's something that he knows firsthand because he lost his son, you know, and it doesn't matter how you lose a child. Losing a child is
terrible.
Yeah, it's you know, horrific. And so these families are going through this. And so he knows that. And so he also went on to offer this.
Scripture says the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. So tonight, I ask the nation to pray for them, give the parents and siblings the strength in the darkness they feel right now.
I like that he asked people to pray. And honestly, too, you know, one of the best things you can do with your kids as you're walking through this today and Ask them questions. Don't avoid the conversation. Talk to them about it because they'll know it. They're going to be talking about it with their kids, and they might have underlying fears. And so ask them questions. But then inside of that, because there's a lot of fear, encourage them to pray for these families. Ask them how you would pray for these families, because in doing so, it might give you some insight into what's going on in their heads as well. And so I know that a lot of times we look for, you know, motive so that we can somehow prevent this from happening again. And, you know, and we look at gun laws and things like that. And that's the last link in this chain. To me personally, the big problem we have to look at is the 18 years that led up to this guy. Mm-hmm. Where were the families involved in his life then? Who turned a blind eye to his, you know, because kids do act out. They do have cries for help. They do, especially early on, push boundaries and become reclusive, you know, and you've got to be intentional with that stuff. So where were the people in his life leading up to this? Because I truly believe the way we curtail this is by getting back to the basics, you know, and making love and loving our families a priority. Having a genuine faith as part of our everyday lives. Make that a priority, you know. Is it going to solve all of this? No, but it definitely could stave some of this off and prevent mm-hmm. some of these by being more involved. You know, caring about that weird kid at school and not further ostracizing them is a mm-hmm. way kids can be involved in this. I mean, tell your kids too, you know, hey, look, that kid that seems, you know, disenfranchised, maybe there's something going on with them. Draw to that kid, you know, and you might be the thing that prevents something 5 years from now mm-hmm. because you chose to be kind and you chose to live out your faith and show them Jesus there. So, I mean, again, it's all unthinkable and it's all hard to deal with, and everybody's going to process it differently. But I do think that, you know, praying in this time is definitely not nothing. You know, mm-hmm. praying for those families, even if you haven't been affected by this, and praying for your kids is a strong, healthy start. Diane, what's up?
Well, first of all, Wally, I wanted to totally agree with what you were saying a minute ago about getting back to families. The gun laws, to me, are stagnant because nobody's wanting to move on that. And I think mental health is the one thing that's overlooked. And I know Biden said last night that other countries are dealing with mental health and things, and I'm sure they are. But until we tackle the underlying issues, this is going to continue to happen. And I'm a teacher, so this fits very close to home, yes.
So are you going to say anything to your kids today? Because I know, like, us here doing a family-type show, I kind of want to be respectful and not go into, like, great detail, you know, and let parents have that conversation. But are you going to address this with your students today?
I am, because let's face it, parents are not having these conversations, and kids are scared. And I'm in Louisville, Kentucky, so it can happen anywhere. And that's another thing people don't understand. Well, it won't happen in our neighborhood. Oh, yes, it will.
That's the tough part, too, because you want to make your kids feel safe. One of the experts had said, hey, make sure that your kids feel safe and reassure them. But there is a reality that things can happen anywhere. And so, yeah, balancing out truth and fear is a difficult, difficult thing. And that's why I think telling your kids, hey, let's pray together for these families. And what would you pray for these kids and these families? Because then you're going to get some insight into where their head's at. And then you can address it with them on a one-to-one basis. So now, Gavin tells me you're a teacher.
Yes, I am. I teach at an alternative high school, middle and high school. So we have a lot of these disenfranchised students. And today, what I'm going to do, this is the last day of school, I'm going to tell my students I love them. Because for some of them, that's the only time they hear it. You know, there are days, I'll be very honest, I look around my empty classroom before they come in and I pray that God will help me to see them with His eyes.
Yeah, because you're dealing with some of the rougher kids and the kids that have, you know, problems and behavioral issues and stuff. And I do, I mean, I think that the work of staving off shooting starts when kids are 5, 6, 7, 8 and loving them then and not just relying on our teachers to somehow, you know, solve all of their problems overnight. And you can tell, I hear it in your voice that you love your kids and they need to hear that. And maybe just you doing that and being that one teacher, who knows how many kids you've affected and maybe prevented something bad because they felt the love that you had for them and your faith coming through this. I think that's really, really important. And you're the front line.
I'll tell you something else, Wally. That teacher that died, she was standing in front of her students attempting to protect them because that's what we do. I have a bulletproof vest in my desk. And I have that because I know that that gives me a slightly better chance of protecting my students.
I love that your reason for having that, though, is not just, oh, it's going to save my life. It's like, I'm going to stand in front of my kids, and I want to do everything I can to protect them.
Exactly. And I will tell you, every teacher would do that. We do it because we love our students.
I don't think Mr. Realitz would have done it for me. I just gave that guy so many headaches.
Oh, yes, he would have. Yes, he would have in a heartbeat. You might give him a headache, but in the end, teacher does what a teacher does because we love our students and we love teaching.
So what are your thoughts on this, Kathy?
My biggest thing is that we need to normalize being able to talk about being depressed. A lot of times, even saying you're going to a therapist, it's mocked or, oh my goodness, you know, what's wrong with you? And kids need to know it's okay. Adults need to know it's okay. It's a neurological disorder. There's nothing wrong with you. And kids need to know that. My daughter suffered from depression. My son and I have it. And we talk to therapists. That's what helps. And I think kids need to know these are emotions and talk about it.
Yeah, I really do. I know we're going to have a bunch of conversations coming up over the next weeks about gun control laws, and I get it. I understand that conversation. That conversation needs to happen too. Like, what's the best way to prevent disturbed people from getting firearms, you know? And I'm all for that. But I think the bigger conversation, kind of what you're talking about, Kathy, is that we got to do the work on the front end before we get 18 years down the road and somebody is broken.
Correct. And showing parents these are signs so they can get help for their children at a young age.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I think a lot of times we want to think, oh, it's a phase. My kid will grow out of it. Mm-hmm. And then when they don't,
correct,
and then something happens, even the parents. I feel bad for parents in these situations of these people that are broken because they're like, I didn't really see it because it's a slow burn. It's one little thing after one little thing after one little thing a lot of times. And cumulatively, you can draw the picture of brokenness, you know. But like, when you're living so close to it, you might not see the whole picture.
Exactly. Yes.
Well, I appreciate you being on with us today, and I think that's an important part of this conversation that definitely needs to be had is mental health awareness and intervention early on.
And now for some good news.
Uplifting WayFM, this is The Wally Show. It's time for good news, giddy up. Three rapid-fire good news stories coming at you because the regular news, as you well know, can be super heavy and serious, and so this is the lighter side of life. So let's start with you, Betty Rock. What do you got?
Jeff Bezos' ex-wife, Mackenzie Scott, she just donated a record $122 million
wow,
to Big Brothers Big Sisters, which is awesome. But her reason for doing this was she wants to help ensure every child in America has a strong role model to look up to.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, because then sometimes if you had more of that, we might would avoid some of the other horrific things,
yes,
that are going on in the world as well. Gavin, good news, giddy up, go.
There was a guy on TikTok says he was going through his old PlayStation games, and then he opened one up, and he had found what he had forgotten was $1,000 that he had hidden in there when he was younger.
How does a kid have $1,000?
Oh, I don't know. Point. Maybe he was a teenager and it was like money he worked for, and then he had like bad siblings, and so you hide that. There's nothing better than found money. Found money feels,
yes,
glorious.
I need to go look through my games at home.
Yeah, yeah. CNN just did a story on a guy from Italy, and this is really cool. He runs several restaurants in England where they actually have Italian moms do all the cooking.
Hey,
ooh,
I like that.
Yeah, you even
it's
sounded
Italian. No.
You sounded Italian there. He brings in three new moms and grandmothers every few months, and they use their own recipes, and they're all like in their 60s and older.
That's
like,
so cute.
You know that's got to be some good food.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, absolutely. And I just like the story behind that, too, and it gives them purpose. They get to sit around, mm-hmm, and do what they love doing, make a little bit of money, but I think probably for them more than that, it's doing what they love, and that's sharing,
yeah,
you know, their life with food. So there you go. That's going to do it for your good news, giddy up. Hey, it's Wally, and you've probably heard me talking many times about doing a cash-out refinance with United Faith Mortgage that it feels a little bit like deja vu. Hey, it's Wally, and you've probably heard me talking many times about doing it, and you see what I did there. But seriously, the cash-out refinance with United Faith Mortgage was the best option for me personally, but maybe you're in a place where you need or want to buy a new home. Well, the same people that helped me with my refi can help you with your new home loan. United Faith Mortgage is a faith-based family of mortgage professionals who can help you get your financing in place so that when you find that perfect home, you're ready to go. The market is still competitive and you have to make quick decisions, and having your loan secured can definitely help. United Faith Mortgage makes the process so easy, and I love that when I call my UFM guy Ryan, I get Ryan. And if he's ever on another line, he gets back to me super fast, because in this market, timing is everything. So talk to the people that I trust for your home loan or refinance. United Faith Mortgage. Start online, call anytime. UnitedFaithMortgage.com.
United Faith Mortgage is a DBA of United Mortgage Corp, 25 Maple Park Road, Melville, New York. Licensed mortgage banker. For all licensing information, go to animalistconsumeraccess.org. Corporate animalist number 1330. Equal housing lender. Licensed in Alaska, Hawaii, Georgia, Massachusetts, North Dakota, South Dakota, or Utah.
It's today's Music Insider with Gavin.
TMI. TMI, my friends.
You can't paint someone with the same brush. For instance, you have Stephen Curtis Chapman, who we all know for his song Dive.
Come on, let's go.
Yeah, he is an icon in Christian music for sure.
Exactly. But he's so much more than just a musician. He has actually dipped his toes into the voice acting industry with none other than Disney. So a while back, he actually played Thomas O'Malley in 5 episodes of House of Mouse.
Oh, he did?
I never knew that. I looked it up. He's got an IMDb page. And then he played a video game character version of Baloo from The Jungle Book. And then recently, Disney Plus just released the show or a movie called Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers. And then we have Stephen Curtis Chapman, in essence, coming back to play Baloo in that movie. And this is him kind of reacting to a scene from the movie.
Wow! Yo, man, it's you!
Baloo, nice to meet you.
Man, that guy sounds familiar. Baloo!
That's crazy. I had no idea that he was doing Baloo for the other games and stuff like that, and then was able to parlay that into the animated feature. That's cool.
It is interesting because I do think Steven has like a rather cool, raspy voice.
Yeah.
And I applaud him for using it for music and for acting
as well. Well, it's kind of like, too, like, I wouldn't have put those two together because you always think, oh, well, Disney's got the person that's always done Baloo,
you know?
And so what happened to that person? Did Steven make him disappear? And then all of a sudden he gets the gig. I don't know. We're just throwing that out there. Mm-hmm. Dateline, look into it. That's really cool. So I'm curious to see Chip and Dale because it's kind of like it's bringing in different characters and kind of putting them all in the same universe there where they didn't interact before. So be interesting.
The most interesting one I saw was there was a Sonic movie that was canceled a few years ago and they re-edited it because people hated what that Sonic looked like.
Yeah.
And you've got that character in. You've got Baloo and you've got
really?
All these characters. Oh, yeah, bizarre. It's like... It's hard to understand what this is for Disney, but it looks fun.
Yeah, well, as one voice actor to another.
Oh, yeah.
I've done voice work. American Underdog, but whatever.
Moving on.
So I need to call Steven, and we need to go to lunch and talk about our experiences as professional voice actors. Uplifting Way FM, this is the Wally Show. When we don't understand something, I know there's a thing called Google. I get it, you can Google stuff, but I don't like Google because it doesn't talk back to me. I want someone that I can hear their experiences. I can pick up context from their nonverbals, you know, and so I want to know your opinion on something. Why? Okay. And so that's why we do Googling things. We ask you for answers to why. Now, normally I have the Google it questions because I ponder a lot of things that have no answer really a lot of times. But today, Betty Rock is our Googler.
I found myself in a situation that had me saying, why? Why do you do that? So I was in a parking garage waiting for someone, a mother. I could tell she had some kids in the back. She was driving what I would consider a bus. The SUV was huge. But she had she decided that she was going to back it up into a parking spot.
Okay.
That's all fine and dandy, but she can see me and another car behind me are waiting on her to back up into this parking spot. And she even waves and she tries it again, does a little maneuvering,
not doing good
all this
at it.
Stuff.
Okay.
And I thought to myself, why can't you just pull in?
Right.
Why do you have to back in? I see this happening at the grocery store parking lot. Anywhere I go, it's like, why do people have to back in.
And I don't know if this is a Southern thing or not, or a truck SUV thing. I'm not sure, because I was in Georgia, and my sister-in-law backed her car in, and I looked at the row, and this was literally just last week. I looked at the row, and the seven cars in a row were all backed in.
Why?
I do not know.
If anything, you're delaying others, and it's not like it's going to get you... Like, I know some people will say, well, it might be quicker for me to get out. Well, it's slower for you to get in.
Right. I mean, I think it's more difficult to back into a space.
And are you just trying to brag and say you're better than all of us? Like, I don't get it.
So we're going to Google it. Maybe you can shed some light as to why people back in. I have a theory as well, but I'll hold mine because I want to hear other people's first. 855-33-WAY-FM. That's 855-33-WAY-FM. Help us Google this. This is personal experience. Why do you think people back their cars into spaces versus pulling in?
So, William, why do you think this is?
Okay, a couple reasons. One, probably law enforcement. You back into a parking spot, if able, because you have a clear view of what's going on around you when you're backing in. And then when you're pulling out, you have a better view to see if anybody's in front of you.
Now, William, did you say you were former law enforcement?
Yes, sir. I'm retired.
Okay. See, that kind of goes with my theory, is people that back into spots are usually fugitives. And they want a quick getaway.
You're saying the soccer mom that I had to sit behind was actually a runaway fugitive?
Yeah, she was on the lam. I guarantee you. Yep. And so is everyone that backs into a space.
You got to get out quick.
That's it, William. See, you get it. And that's a former cop, man. Come on now. All right, Tom, you're up. We're Googling this. Why do people back their cars into spots versus pulling in?
Well, in Florida, if it's a perpendicular spot and not an angled spot, you're allowed to back in. And the reason most people will do it is because it's easier to see the person speeding down the lane and avoiding them rather than backing out. So if you pull out, you have a better chance of avoiding a collision.
Yeah, but it makes it tougher for you to actually pull into a spot because you're having to back into
one. Well, I didn't say they knew how to back in.
That's very true. I've seen some soccer moms and tanks for SUVs take 5 or 6 times to get into a spot while you're waiting the whole time. But definitely getting out, you have a better view. So I can see that safety reason. So, okay, I'll buy that.
I won't.
Betty's still mad at that lady.
So, Annabelle, what do you think?
So I asked the same question of my friend because I noticed that she was always backing into the parking spaces. And she said her dad, growing up, always had them back in because if she had a mechanical issue or if her car died, he wanted the hood of the car to be easily accessible. So that you didn't have to, move the car, essentially, put it in neutral or something.
Okay, now that's a great point because, say your battery dies and you're in between two cars and the owners of those two cars are not there to move them or help you, you're kind of stuck. But if your car is facing out, the hood of your car is there and someone can just drive down the lane and then they could jump your car off.
Yeah, that made sense to me. I was like, cool. But it is harder to get in there at the beginning.
It makes sense, but only if you're driving a clunker.
I don't know. Your car's died on you before. I've had to come jump your car. Remember that? It was difficult because you parked in facing in.
Okay.
And it was full of the
morning. Details.
Okay.
I have a point.
Not a good one. Annabelle, thank you, girl.
Oh, yeah. No problem. Have a good day.
Look, I know one of the biggest bonuses of a podcast is being able to skip through things you don't want to hear about, but I would encourage you just to sit tight for just a second, because as the war in Ukraine enters month 3, it's hard to believe it's been that long, and you watch all the stories of families being displaced and lives being shattered, and you think, man, that's really sad. I wish there was something I could do about it. Here's the cool thing. You and me and all the potties could get together and actually maybe make a difference by helping families in Ukraine who have been displaced by all this violence. There's nearly 11 million people that have been forced out of their homes. And imagine that. You can't take everything with you. You've got to just pick and choose the few things you can carry as you try to get your family to safety. They say desperate times calls for desperate measures. Well, these are desperate times. That's why The Wally Show is partnering with Food for the Poor and 3,500 pastors in Ukraine and surrounding countries to help feed these people. And here's what's really cool. You can provide a meal for 25 cents, a quarter what we plug into a gumball machine. You could actually feed a child a meal.
So now do some math with me. Your gift of a dollar would actually feed a family of four. Your gift of $10 sends 40 meals. Your gift of $25 will feed 100 people who desperately need it. So while this is a really sad story on the world stage, it is really cool to see the difference that a few motivated potties could make. So text the word WALLY to 91999. That's WALLY, W-A-L-L-Y, to 91999, and we'll send you a link to make a difference today.
These are the least important stories out of Hollywood, but nonetheless entertaining. Here's Betty Rock with the least of these.
Having a group of friends to walk with you through big life events is always helpful. That's why some pretty famous celebrity moms like Mandy Moore, Wally, I know you know her as Rebecca in the hit TV series This Is Us.
Yeah, and she's like super mom in that show. Like her, like the two most perfect parents aligned in that show, apparently, because everyone loves Jack. And then her, and
that's
so
the dad, right?
Yeah, that's the dad.
See,
and so,
I don't watch the show. I know her better as like her Pop Princess days and
different.
A Walk to Remember, the Nicholas Sparks movie.
She's actually become a good actress. Like she's really good in This Is Us.
Yeah, well, her along with Disney icon Hilary Duff,
Lizzie McGuire,
you might know her
as,
and Pop Princess Meghan Trainor have formed their own quote cool mom club.
What?
Yeah, so these three, they get together because they're all brand new moms.
Okay.
And you know, as a mom, there's so much judgment from other moms. And so instead, you find that group of people that can encourage you and uplift you. And Mandy Moore was asked about it. She said, quote, "We have dinner and take baby classes together.
Nice.
I'm very grateful to have those resources and just incredible women to be able to lean on."
I'll tell you, MOPS was a lifesaver for my wife. When we moved to California, we had just had Haley and she was 3 months old. Mm. So we moved to a place she knew no one and had no help and no support. Like, so for me, I go off to work and then I come home and like, hey, everything's great, right? But like, it was harder for her to make friends and to kind of walk through life in a really tumultuous time because her mom had just been diagnosed with cancer. Then we move away. A lot of things going on. And she found a MOPS group. And because I'm not a big like support group, self-help kind of person. Like I don't function in
that
world.
You're a lone wolf.
I am. I'm a lone wolf. Yes. And so thank you. That sounds way cooler than messed
I'm
up.
I'm not supporting that decision.
But for her, it was fantastic. Like she found other moms that they could discuss what they were feeling and how to better do things and just get support and things like that.
Yeah.
And so it was so great.
It always helps to have a group of people that you can lean on and not do it alone.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's just so unhealthy when you do it alone.
Yeah, so much.
What
so,
did I just say, Wally? Repeat it.
I'm on my own. Because I don't want to be part of a group that would have me as a member. Like that old Groucho Marx quote. I think that, I'm curious if Cool Mom Club now for these celebrities, though, will grow or like and can any mom just be part of Cool Mom Club? Because even inside of that, there's still going to be a hierarchy and a caste system. And like, I don't think my wife could join Mandy Moore's Cool Mom Club.
No, you have to be like an A-list celebrity.
I think so.
Ooh.
Yeah. So how do they make those decisions?
Tough.
Yeah. So we want to support people, just not every people.
Oh, what's this? An email for me?
Uplifting Way FM. This is The Wally Show. If you ever want to get a hold of me, just wally@wayfm.com is how you can do that. This was kind of a cool email I got. She says, "Hey, Wally, you received an email from my 10-year-old girl a few weeks ago reaching out to you because her papa was in ICU and things have been really hard lately. You have no idea what it meant to her and to me that you responded so perfectly to her worries and her hurting heart. Your show is her rock. She loves the music and all of the shows on Way FM, but she really likes and connects with you. So thank you for hearing her plea, and thank you for hearing her cry out, and thank you for responding. She needed it more than you know, and it makes me happy to know that you were there to lift her up in prayer and to give her hope when life was getting to be too much for her. And it also was great to have somebody that could take up the mantle and lift her up when I'm failing to do so because of the other things on my plate." And that last thing, like up to that point, I'm like, oh, this is really cool. I love this. But then my heart kind of sank a little for this mom who's like, you know, you were there because I couldn't be. And so I instantly emailed her back, you know, and I'm like, hey, I'm so glad it helped her. It makes my day. Thanks for filling me in on all the other things going on. And you've got to be proud of her spiritual maturity. But please don't ever feel like she reached out to me because there was something lacking from you. I think it's based on the person you said she is. She probably didn't want to burden you with her stuff, you know, and I think kids do that. Kids try to insulate us as parents from the things that we're feeling, too.
Yeah, but I'm so glad that she could reach out to you, and that just goes to show, like, there are people that do care.
Yeah. See, that's the whole point. This isn't like a humble brag, like, oh, well, you're there. But what it really is evidence of is when you support the ministry of Way FM and you're one of our partners that does a monthly gift or a single gift and keeps Way FM on the air, you're also keeping us who love what we do doing what we do. And that's taking the time to email a 10-year-old little girl that's hurting when they reach out. That stuff matters and it's important. And I take it very seriously. Gavin and Betty do as well. And so you are a part of the fabric of this ministry when you support it, and everybody that's enabled it to be here, you're part of this story as well. So thank you for all that you do for your Way FM. And if you're ever in that place where you're like, you know what, I didn't even know they needed support, I'd like to be a part of this too, and I can help out, I want to be part of these stories, it's real simple.
Just text the word give to 91979. That's the word give to 91979.
Uplifting Way FM, this is The Wally Show. Music is such a big part of my life, and for most people it is. You know, you have those songs you sing, songs get stuck in your head all the time. We play so many great songs here on the station that hopefully uplift you, and, you know, so I was noticing the other day, though, that I sing a specific song every day when I'm actually doing something, and it was this song here. Do you know what I am doing when I sing that song every day, Rob?
When you slip and fall and you can't get up?
No, actually,
when you bend down to tie your shoelaces?
I could, but no. When I'm taking my heart medicine to keep me alive because my blood pressure was crazy. So I literally take my heart medicine and I sing, staying alive. And then my wife now is even cued into that, and she will, when we're traveling, she goes, do you have your staying alive pills? And I'm like, thank you so much for reminding me about them. It means you want me to stay alive too.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, so that is a song, you know, that like goes through my head. I mean, it could be something you do while you're at work, you know? See, even Snow White knew that there were songs to play in your head and sing along while you were doing stuff. So do you have that specific thing, a song that you sing when you are doing something and you find yourself doing this more than one time? I'm real curious. I might be the only insane person
here. No, there's got to be people out there.
That's kind of what I feel. I feel like, and it might even be a song you've made up, like too, as you tie your shoes or something. I don't know. But I'd love to know. 855 33-WAY-FM. That's 855-33-WAY-FM. What is that song you sing while you're doing something? Rebecca, I'm curious for you. Is there a song that you sing while you do something specific?
Yes. So whenever I finish a task at work, the song Another One Bites the Dust goes through my head.
Oh, that's so funny.
Another one bites the dust. Another one bites the dust.
Just marking it off your to-do list and getting a little queen in your life there.
That's right. So you're not the only crazy one.
Thank you.
Do you sing it out loud or do you sing it in your head? Because that will make a difference.
In my head. So I'm only half crazy.
Okay. Well, there you go. Mine's out loud. So, Chantel, what is a song that you find yourself singing when you do something?
Well, after I've cleaned up my house and my kids find a way to mess up the house again, I start singing, it's a hard not life for us.
You go a little Annie. There you go. I like that.
It's the hard not life for us. It's the hard not life for us.
That was one of the first plays my daughter was in. I still remember them on the floor scrubbing. It's a hard knock life for us.
Chantel, you need to move it around to where the kids are cleaning up after themselves and they sing
the
song.
Yeah, you need to change that. It's a hard knock life for you. It's a hard knock life for you. You better clean this up, or I might just spank your... It's a hard knock life.
Yeah, I gotta remix the song.
Yes, exactly.
Well, the podcast is over, but there's still the Aftercast. It's new stuff you didn't hear in the podcast. Be sure to rate us on iTunes, as well as connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok. Just search Wally Show. And if you'd like to join our Facebook group made exclusively for you potties, the link is in the description of this podcast. Thanks to Colorado Christian University Online and United Faith Mortgage for supporting what we do.